Receive the Spirit.
Discrimination.
Have we heard from Ole?
No.
No?
Yesterday.
Wait.
No news is good news.
He did.
He got to Tulsa.
He got to Tulsa.
Okay. His check engine light went on.
Check his Twitter page.
Yeah, I'll bet he's
twittering
while he drives. Acts 2:14. Got your Bibles? All right. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Has everybody in here done that?
Called on the name of the Lord.
That is to me the most critical point in a soul's existence is the day they call on the name of the Lord.
What brought on this speech?
Pardon me?
What brought on this speech in this section of?
Why did he make this speech?
That's correct.
I don't know.
Well, Pentecost had just happened. The Holy Spirit done this wild thing. They were all gathered in the temple.
For Pentecost?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the Feast of Pentecost, and then the Holy Spirit showed up, and there was fire, and there was the sound of mighty rushing wind, and it was, you know, it was the what they call the birth of the church, because it was like a new thing. And so now he's going to talk to everybody.
Yeah, we're trying. He's getting down to what the core of the deal is about. But this calling on the name of the Lord is the absolute essential point of the believer's life and the one who enters into this everything that Peter's talking about. Without experiencing that moment of your death, you don't call on the name of the Lord until you're ready to die or, you know, until it's all over. That's when God means something to you. And so, without passing over that particular point, that I want to stress you call on the name of the Lord in your distress, in your wastedness, and he hears your cry. And the reason he hears at that point is because you have no other options. You've spent yourself, and now there's nothing left, and that's when he can use you. That's when you're empty, and he can enter in and live his life in you. So it's a critical mass there. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No prejudice. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It always is fascinating to me what was required at God's hand through Christ for salvation to be wrought in man. No other means could salvation take place but by the horrible atrocities that were performed and done to Christ. And that's what is necessary for God's love to be manifest. And that's so opposite of anything we would ever conceive or try and come up with. And that's evidence for you that your mind is incapable of seeing the way God does. We'd never do that. That's mean. That's nasty, that's dirty, that's unkind, that's unfriendly, that's everything that man would say is bad. And yet that's exactly what was required by God, knowing our frame, that we might be saved. And so Jesus Christ, being the perfect sacrifice, was the one that had to be sacrificed to again make his plan excellent. And so to try and comprehend the things of God by man's way of thinking is foolish, because it won't happen. There's no synapses within our brain that will connect the dots. So without the abandonment of self, if just by pure obedience, without even understanding, if you just abandon self, then the mysteries of God appear. There's no resistance to who he is. And that's why we preach nothing but the cross. And we don't even preach the resurrection, hardly. I mean, it's hard-pressed to get Ole to even talk about the resurrection. That's God's business, how resurrection in you takes place. Not mine, not yours, not his. God is the one who raises you up. We are the ones who are determined to preach nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified and his death. And for the 30-some years that we've been around here, the harder that message is preached and the worse it sounds, the more freedom and liberty that we've experienced. Some of the meetings we've had were just devastatingly, just killers. And we walk out laughing and carrying on and no cares, no thought of self, just free. And so that's part of the nature of this mystery. It's wild. And so, where was I? Anybody know where I am?
25.
25? All right. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So this is talking about, you know, Ole and I have had a conversation or two about time. And I know, you know, what he's talking about, that Christ coming into time was an event, took place, a lot of things happened. But the revelation of that event is out of time. And men of old saw it. They understood it. They wrote of it. They experienced it. It wasn't something that was just future to them, even though in one sense it was. It's always present. So whether the event took place 2,000 years ago or you're looking 2,000 years before is not the issue. The issue is God has provided that revelation to his people, his prophets, his those who are of him at any time. And it has to be that way because he is out of time. And that's the only place where we access him, is out of this precious moment-by-moment place. And the concept of eternity, I don't know everybody else's thinking or understanding of it, but I know that eternity is like never changes. And I've glimpsed it thousands of times, and it's always the same place. You know, my body might be in a different location on the planet or whatever, but eternity has never been different. And that's our battle, is to always move back into that eternal moment, which is the resting place, what's that place?
Mercy seat.
Yeah, it's that mercy seat. You lose it every once in a while. The mercy seat.
See, yeah, this event was that meeting where that outside of time place where God was placed in our
frames. Yeah, that's what this Pentecost whole thing is. It's like it exploded into consciousness, and it was like, and Peter's trying to talk about it. And it's interesting, we've talked about it for 35 years. Same thing. We meet all the time, every day, and talk about one thing. We've got 1,000 different approaches to it, but it's never changed the exact thing that we're talking about. I think that is so amazing, because I can't watch a movie twice, hardly, but I can listen to this every day, and it's different every time I hear it, and yet it's the exact same thing every time. Yeah. So just, this is a phenomenal mystery that we've been delivered into. And we love it.
It's just, like you said, there's different, stories. It gets back to the same concept. And then it's not a concept, it's what it is.
And it's what it is, yeah.
Eternity is eternity, which is where we can step, it's holy ground.
But yeah.
It's the same idea of God saying, think of the worst thing you could possibly do. It's covered.
Yeah.
You go for it.
Right.
Because it's already been taken care of.
And there's nothing that you can do that trumps what he has done. And on our big little brains think there is. We somehow think we can do something so bad that God will forsake us forever.
Well, then it goes ballistic when you can't.
Yeah. And then we haven't seen the sacrifice.
Right.
And that's what Passover is all about, is examining the sacrifice. And if the sacrifice has not been examined, then you won't really accept him. You have to examine that sacrifice to see, do you think he's perfect? Was there anything lacking in him as far as you're concerned? What?
We had Seder in San Diego.
Oh, I remember.
I didn't get to be here for Passover, so we had Passover in San Diego. And there was a friend of ours, his family is very, they're very practicing Jewish.
Straight up Jewish.
Because he is obviously Jewish. And I said I was going to miss Passover. He said, well, I think we should do it. I said, are you serious? We're totally doing it because I need it. I want it. And so we did. We went shopping, and being able to gather your friends that aren't, it seems like a different plane.
Yeah,
because they're not in this plane.
Right.
And yet when you go over there, the plane has never changed.
Yeah.
It's just new faces, but not really. And I don't really know how else.
Well, the mystery is the same universally,
right.
And
right.
Yet. Yeah.
And so for that moment, that evening, we were all gathered together, and we had two separate tables where we just had one set of everything that was representing the Passover, and then another table that had just a set of it, so that everybody could participate, because we had about 20-something people.
Really?
And it was amazing to see eternity. Because that's what you saw.
Yeah.
That's what you saw. And nothing else mattered. And it became more intense just because you take the equation of, well, I'm not in Texas, I'm in California, what the heck? So it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because it was the same. It was really cool.
That is cool.
The end.
And this place around here, it's like, we're about one thing. We're about this. Nothing else. And if you're here for another reason other than that, then life is confusing and it's not quite understood even. But God has provided 7 feasts that we celebrate throughout the year that we rally around. Yeah, those are the places, because he knows our frame. We're dumb, we forget, we're dullards, and he created it so that we could month after month see him. And be brought together to see him. And be knit together in love. And that's what's happened. And then we look around and say, well, I don't talk to that person much. And this, but when we come together, that mystery is what binds us. And nothing else. We're not great friends. Or we are. It doesn't matter. That's not what we're here for. You know, one of the cliches is you come here for many reasons, but you stay for one. And it took a while for me to really understand that, but I totally understand it now. So.
Yeah, we're talking about people. You know, many people come here to get something. They actually need something.
Right.
You know, but the idea of, we're really here to give, not to get anything.
Right.
So that's got to be where you end up, is seeing that. You know,
right.
Or else you get mad and something's wrong. Cause I'm not
right, thinking, something's
whatever
wrong.
Whatever it was I wanted out of this experience or this
right.
place or folks or
and that's the nature and basis of a church, is a place where you can give, where you can lay your life down, pour yourself out, give whatever you got to give, as big or as little as it might be. And in that you find your satisfaction. You are complete. Take that away. Take that place of being able to give, and then you'll appreciate what you got. A lot of times you lose the appreciation of it because you don't see clearly. But take that away, and then you say, oh my God, I had it all. I had the perfect setup because I could pour myself out in this place. And because if you don't have that, you know what you got? You got this. And that is going to turn on you. It's not going to...
Gary Bunker pointing towards his head.
Yeah. So... You give or you get my brain. There you go. Oh, that's scary.
Scary.
That's scary.
Your brain, that is scary.
It's like the fall created a space where God doesn't exist.
Ooh, yeah.
Sure did.
I think they call it hell.
In our imagination.
Yeah.
Did pills for it.
I had a interesting... revelation, I guess I'd call it, 2 days ago. This person that I work with is a very upbeat and God bless you and God be with you and have a blessed day and all that kind of language. It's consistent. And they won't leave your presence without have a blessed day or something. It's kind of the, you know, little things they have to do to stay okay. And it's like there's a, and I saw in this person a constant need to shore up a reality that wasn't reality, but it was an imagined place. And the only way to keep it intact was with all this, bless you and God this and God, God, God. You know, and that way that she felt safe in this fabricated reality rather than abandonment. It was hard work to maintain it. And
pump the energy.
Yeah, and keep pumping that energy into this non-reality. And I thought, geez, how sad, you know, that the... Because God's name was on everything she did. She kept...
I knew she was.
Yeah. But it was like, rather than take the bad and embrace it, that can't be part of the equation. It can only embrace what you conceive of as the good. And so you're stuck in a non-reality, because reality has good and bad. It has both, or you couldn't see. Light and darkness are companions in that respect. So it was a a message to me. Maybe I'm pumping energy into a reality that is not a reality.
No.
I would do that. You're right. Forgive me. Let me back up and take that out of you.
That is unlike you.
None of us in here would do that. So... where am I? 31?
Sure.
He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I love these conclusions. They bring you to this point. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, the rest of the apostles, What shall we do? That's the only response man can give to the seeing of Christ. Wow, Christ, Jesus, God, what shall I do? There's always something we think we have to do now to be worthy or to gain this great prize. What will I do? But he says, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus. We'll repent, obviously we know, turn away from you in a trillion dimensions, and then accept your death by your baptism. I mean, that's just huge. It wipes you out. You don't get anything. There's no prize. You get to die. You get to die daily. You get to bear about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Wow, that's not any good. I thought there was something else here. No. And ironically, once again, this can't conceive of it, but that is the absolute best thing that can ever happen to a human being, is to die in Christ. There's no greater or higher place in existence than that, and yet the brain thinks death is so bad, and denying self is the worst thing.
He
can't.
I used to get arguments about that. Yeah. I tried to figure it out. What the hell does that mean? What the hell does that mean?
Yeah. And if you could figure it out,
that would be
Yeah, that'd be the worst thing. But God has made sure that you can't figure it out. But in acceptance, in obedience, in the baptism and understanding what baptism is. Ray, you know, is about to die. And he knows
is he
it.
Really?
Yeah. And they asked me to take care of his funeral when it happens. And then the idea of baptism came up. And he wants to be baptized. So... But he's got a tracheotomy and he's got a little hole in his throat, so he can't be put underwater. Yeah. So they were worried that he can't be baptized because he can't be pushed under the water. You know, he'd drown or something like that. So, but I told his wife, I said, that's not the point. The point in baptism is you understand it. If you understand it, you know, a drop of water is baptism. So, I look forward to that time. They're supposed to call me and set up a time we can get together. Might want some witnesses. He might want some witnesses, too. I hope so. Yeah. Okay. It's amazing. Ray is such an example right now because he's alive, and yet he's dead. It's right there before him, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, a month or two, or a miracle. But barring that, he's looking it straight in the face, and that changes everything. And I know anybody in here who's faced death has suddenly a different take on everything that that we're about.
Well, that's really everybody's situation. We just don't ever think about it.
Right.
We're all facing death.
We're all facing it, but we push it away. Has everybody in here made funeral arrangements?
I did, but then I ended up living.
Isn't that funny?
Out the window.
I found out that if Roberts, who I'd known, or anyone, he had a massive stroke on June 9th, and they took him off of life support on the 12th. I just found this out.
Yeah, this was your friend that hit his phone and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Guy, right?
Yeah, he was an incredible guy. And like the rest of us, he wasn't one that well organized. And he also kept secrets, but that's for another time. He left no will, no funeral, nothing.
So he did die?
Yeah, he did die. It took my wife's fortune to
go. Okay.
How his son and my heart, you know, Dick's gone, and so he's gone. But I really ache for his son and his family, because how Rick is telling people is when people call Dick's phone and Rick answers it. Mm. And
they think he's going to answer the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and when it happened to me, I said, you know, and I knew who it was. I said, Rick, where's your dad? Is he all right? Is he in the hospital? No, my dad's dead. Mm. So.
Stop a conversation.
It is a tough, and so. I think the point of this is we need to think about this. No matter how young you are or how young you think you are, you need to think about this and think about the people you're leaving behind. What
to clean up your mess.
Because if you don't, you've really made it all about yourself.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it straight up because I preach this stuff, I believe this stuff, I talk about baptism, death, etc., etc. I haven't made funeral arrangements. You know why? I'm afraid to. I don't want to. I don't want to face it to that degree. And it's like to go make those arrangements is almost like acquiescing to the fact that it's okay to die. I mean, that's some convoluted way of thinking.
How can you preach it and live it?
Well, I'm just opening up the fact that here I am realizing it as we speak. This isn't something I've been thinking about.
But I think all of us. I don't think there's a person in this room. You may not admit it publicly, but in your heart of hearts, we're all frightened of death. Death has become so removed from us.
Mm-hmm.
That we are frightened of it.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it and say, I know it's coming, and we'll do all that. But now go make your funeral arrangements.
Do you have to, like, set a date?
That's the part I'm not sure of. But you got to buy a plot of land, you know?
No, you can be cremated.
Oh, gosh.
I recorded an alternative breeding on my voicemail, so.
Already? There you go. What does it say?
Send out to everybody.
Email blast. Hearing this, you know I'm gone.
Yeah, that's good preparation. Yeah, I think everybody should plan the event so somebody else doesn't have to do it for you. Pick your rock and roll band that you want to play at your funeral.
So
that's your wake. Anyway, it's a you know it just this kind of popped up, but it's a hard look at the reality we talk about. You know, we talk freely about it, but now. You know, what's the reality in your space? This is one of my realities that I pump a little air into to keep from totally facing death and coming to complete terms. Because it says the fear of death is, you can't be free.
Do you want to be buried with your metal detector?
You still have that
be passed down?
I'm about to get a new one. And I think I'll give it to my son. Maybe my new one you might put down there.
Walking down the streets of gold, just be going off.
Streets of gold! Yay! I think we're going off! That's a good one, Kevin. Proud to know you today, because that was a good one.
If I go first, I'll toss them down to you.
Streets of gold, and it's going off. That's a good one.
Well, that's where we're laying. Face your death.
We exhausted this subject.
Yeah.
I think so. We're diverse.
Please, because everybody can hear you taking that thing off right now. All the ears.
That's all, folks.
How about if we unplug it?
That's good. No, it's off. No, it's not.
Oh, yes. How many Levi's does it take to turn the recorder off?
Nobody liked my idea of not